Welcome to the Someone Gets Me podcast, where you'll hear stories of inspiration and hope realized. Hosted by Diane Allen, intuitive empowerment mentor, who specializes in working with people who want to be freed from being stuck in life. You will hear personal stories and professional insights, along with tips on how to conquer overthinking, procrastination, and more. Here's Diane.
Hi, everyone. It's Diane with an interview for you today that you are going to want to stop what you're doing and listen. I have this amazing woman with me who has a presence and an energy and a confidence that you will want to listen to. Octavia Brooks is our guest today on the show, and she's a shamanic energy healer. She also mentors people and helps people expand who they are in ways they can't even understand. She has an amazing passion and desire to really help people grow into the full expression of who they are, living their dreams. That's you, by the way. And she has been doing it for quite some time, like over a couple decades. She has a lot of wisdom and a lot of experience and a lot of connection spiritually and otherwise. One of the things I love about her, besides the fact that she's just so gentle and strong at the same time, is that she does a lot of things that have to do with ceremonies and connecting in ways that aren't always typical. So she offers a lot to you that's not just the same old stuff. So I know Octavia. I've actually done a session with her, and we'll talk about that later, I'm sure. And I loved it so much, I scheduled another one. That's how amazing she is. And I don't do that often. So that's really a big compliment to you, Octavia. So I'd like to welcome you to our show today. And we're going to see where this amazing conversation is going to go. So welcome.
Wow, Diane, thank you so much for your generous introduction. I'm really glad to be here.
Yes, this is going to be great. So first off, I always like to kind of start with, how did you get where you are? I mean, you are a shamanic energy healer. That's like the coolest title ever. But I mean, I don't think you knew that when you were born. Maybe you did. And so how did you get to this really amazing, powerful space that you've created?
Well, I got kicked out of the atheist club. No, that's really funny. I was really raised completely without any, the religion of the mind, I guess. And I was really into it. And when I was about 13, I wrote off to get a membership in the Atheist Society, but they got my name wrong and they switched genders. Like, they thought I wrote my name wrong as Ellie. My name was Ellie back then. And instead, they gave me Eli, Mr. Eli. And I'm like, screw these guys. So that's how the divine averted me from a path of atheism. My mom was into fairies. She used to run around, hop around in the backyard, like talking to the fairies. She read the Finn Horton Garden book. And I just thought it was the dorkiest thing ever. And then in my 20s, I started going to therapy. And it just so happened that my therapist was a high priestess in the pagan tradition. Anadea Judith, actually, she wrote The Wheels of Life, and she's like the chakra expert. And I studied with her. I took a bunch of classes with her about paganism, Wicca 101. We talked about different gods and goddesses. And that began I was in a coven for 7-8 years, and I was a pagan priestess for about 20 years and led public ceremony, transformed large groups of people in those ceremonies. And that's how things started. And I took a class from the Berkeley Psychic Institute in parallel with all of this, and that introduced me to the concepts of energy and energy healing. And within a few weeks after taking one of the first classes, I got a download. It was the first thing that really ever spiritually sort of pounced on me. And they taught me this meditation that I've been doing ever since then, working with the column of light in the center of me. And I do that to balance my energy. I believe it's really healthy for everyone to balance their energy, because if you are on the depressive end of things and your energy is kind of low, then you can connect with the universal energy, which is really high vibrational. And if you are feeling a little bit, if you feel a little bit too buzzy or anxious, you can connect more with earth energy, And that brings you home to center, and balancing between these two energies gives you just about the right amount of oomph every day. I went from the pagan background, and then I actually studied in the Santo Daime tradition from Brazil. This is one of the first times I'm speaking about this very personal spiritual path that I was on, that I've been on for close to 9 years now. It's a Brazilian tradition, and it's a combination of so many different traditions involving ayahuasca and involving spirit guides from many different cultures, and a flavor of Catholicism and Christianity. And so that really just added to my already extremely eclectic spiritual path. I deepened my spirit mediumship skills that I had already gained from the pagan tradition. In the pagan tradition, you invoke gods and goddesses, so you spend time with those divine energies. And over time, by the grace of God, I am able to speak to a lot of divine beings who then assist me with clients and assist me in any kind of ceremony that I'm doing. I get messages. I was just doing a random video the other day, and water just stepped in and said, "Hey, don't remind them about flow. Remind them about flow." And that was just, so I'm one of those really weird people. I look normal, but when you get past the shallow surface level, I kind of turn up a little weird.
Well, weird in a delightful kind of way, you know, like kind of the nerdy, quirky, neat weird, you know, and I think it's a testimony that there's way more going on than what people see on the surface, and trying to keep everything in its box of whether it's this religion or that understanding or any of these boxes, you know, it's time for everyone to realize that it's not getting out of the box. There is no box. And there's a difference. You know, if I say, well, I'm stepping out of the box, then I'm still orienting toward the box. And true transformation is the person who can release any concept of the box and see the expanse of what this universe really is about, as far as our limited human brain can get, right?
Just pretty far, actually.
Right.
I mean, like sometimes our brain feels like a box to me. You know, we've talked so far about the spiritual side of my development. And in the last couple of years, I've really been going into psychology and the success of psychology, or success psychology, which has a lot to do with how our subconscious mind creates limitations. And I've been putting the shamanic energy healing work with the success psychology stuff. And that's even weirder than anything anybody's doing, but it's really fun.
Well, that's so interesting, because I always get these downloads about how to marry different things. Like I took a recent neurosemantic workshop, and then the other day I was sitting at home, and all of a sudden I had this download about intuition meets neurosemantics, which are apparently two completely separate things, and they're not really. So I've contacted my neurosemantic buddy, and I've said, we're doing a workshop together, and this is what it is. And it downloaded the content, the questions to ask, everything. And I'm like, whoa, how cool is that? And I'm grateful that I'm so open-minded that those kinds of inspired ideas can show up, and I follow them instead of ruling them out, you know? And I think that's one of the things that attracts me to you, is that you're always learning, and your feet are on the ground, you're quite grounded, and you get that there's way more going on, and you're willing to explore and be part of that and be a bridge for people, you know? That's really a big thing, you know, to be that bridge. I think it's a really big yes you've said to the universe. Knowingly or unknowingly, you did it.
Diversity is one of my all-time favorite things. And synergy and diversity are two of my all-time favorite things, and they go together, because with diversity, you can get all these synergies of things playing with each other. And I love your story of that you took this class, and that spirit then had like a new channel to speak with you on, to put all like something really new together. I think spirit just wants to keep creating new things through all of us. And if we allow ourselves to be siloed, like a lot of culture, a lot of education, especially a lot of higher education, is very siloed. And I'm going to tell a quick story from this cool book called The Cosmic Serpent. there's a while ago, an archaeologist who, no, I'm not saying this right, an anthropologist who was working with indigenous tribes, but had this kind of distance, like a lot of anthropology is, let's not get too close. We don't want to influence their culture. We just want to observe it. And one of the roles that he had the most question about was the shamanic role of these indigenous cultures in the Amazon. And the shaman, he said, tell me what kind of visions you're seeing. In, you know, and the shaman described these like squiggly lines, and the spirits tell the shaman where to put the energy on the squiggly line. And the guy's like, this just makes no sense to me. How this guy's curing people by the spirits telling him to point energy at this specific place on a squiggly line. And this just blew the anthropologist's mind. Like, what? How is he doing this? It took the anthropologist about 6 years, and he read into chemistry, and he read into biology, and he read into anthropology, and he read into quantum physics, and he read into all these different disciplines that are traditionally like really siloed. And what he realized at the end of all of this is that the shaman was looking at chromosome. That's what the shaman was describing. He was being shown a chromosome where the DNA needed to be corrected on that chromosome so the person's genetics could be healed, like genetic expression turned off or on so the person could then be healed and made whole. And then it, which then opened up this incredible understanding of, wow, the spirit world has a lot to show us, and it's a shortcut. We don't have to spend, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on an education to get like super specifically siloed in this one way. We could develop our spiritual vision and come to the same conclusions. Now, these shamans study with other shamans over the whole entire course of their life. It's also a very, very deep study. However, it's innately organic. That's the thing I really like about it. And going back to the diversity and the synergy, that is connecting all these different kinds of thought processes, all these different schools of thinking, brings about new schools of thinking and really evolves us as a human culture and as a human race. So I love nerds wherever they are, whatever they're doing, whatever they're studying. I love nerds, and nerds bringing new ideas together. I might not look like a nerd. I'm inside. Like I've felt nerdy my whole entire life. I'm a big fan of nerds.
Oh, I love it. And you know, you bring up the whole point of study, and a lot of people think that spiritual things are all woo-woo and there's nothing to it, but that's not the case. Like you said, shamans study their whole lives, and that's how it works. Like, there's a lot of investment and involvement and tuning in and practice and study, no matter which angle you come at it from, whether it's formal education or putting together more than one discipline or studying under people who are showing you the way in a higher spiritual way, but it's still study in all of its different forms. And so it is kind of a nerdy activity. You know, the nerds unite and they show up in different ways. I'm one of them too. We both are. But when you look at us, we don't necessarily look like the nerds of the world, but we are. And I think there's a lot of power in that, the people who are excited to learn new things and put new ideas together and have a vision that's outside of the box, even if other people don't get it. You know, even if other people kind of give you that confused dog look like, huh, what? Or judge it or whatever, that's on them. That's not on you. So I'm sure you've probably dealt with that some, where people have not understood you or judged you or just missed the point, and you're just trying to be your authentic self. I'm also sure you have probably learned some really neat ways to handle that, that are healthy and that have moved you forward versus taking you backward. So I'm wondering if you're willing to share maybe some tips or ideas or something for somebody who might be listening, who's going, wow, you know, there's got to be a way to feel a little bit more connected to the world and retain my identity and my vision. So what would you say to that person?
Well, I have a few different things that I'd like to say to that person, because that person resembles myself a lot, and I've had to learn a lot. A couple things. One is, I think it serves you, and I think it serves everyone, for people to understand what your message is. And I'm a Gemini. Most of my life, I've been aware of a role as a translator. I was even a business analyst when I was in a wearing a corporate hat. So I would translate between the business and the technology. And I think that's one thing you have to keep in mind. When there's somebody in front of you that's a totally unknown quantity, you have no idea where they're coming from or what their frame of reference is, I start talking about my passions and the stuff that I really enjoy talking about. And I drop like little seeds to figure out where their interest level is, what their frame of reference is. And then I learn how to speak to them in their own language about what I do. So I have a lot of different translations for what I do. And it's true that not every conversation goes all the way to the nth degree of where I would really love to be talking to somebody. And that's my inner circle of friends. Those are the closest people to me where I can shop talk with them, you know? And yet I really want to be able to communicate with anybody I come in contact with. So I do this like translation into language that I think people can understand a little bit better. And I go as deep as their interest level will take them. So I watch really carefully about people's body language, and I allow them to pull questions, to like ask me questions to engage me further. And then oftentimes I find myself at a table because the shamanic stuff is so exotic and strange to people. And when I tell people the types of benefits that I'm able to get for my clients, they start asking me a lot more questions like, well, how do you do that? How do you do that? And now I've just, depending on the social setting, and I don't want to hog up a whole 20 minutes at the table talking about the incredibly weird life that I lead, I just have like different versions of it, the short version, the quick answer. And honestly, it's really taken me a lot of time with people to cultivate these ways of talking to people. And I know that your listeners are as smart and intelligent people, because otherwise they wouldn't be so passionate about stepping out and doing something so unique in the world. And I honor you all. I really appreciate you carrying the torch for your light. And I really know how sometimes it feels really isolating. I really get that. You have to find community. You have to find some like-minded people. And I found them in strange corners. I mean, I've moved to places like Austin, Texas. I lived in Austin, Texas, and I lived in San Francisco, and I lived in Portland, Oregon. So I went to places where there were other weirdos. There was a higher percentage of weirdos. So I could find some people that really, you know, that I could connect with, because you need to be with some people. And it's like a base of support, like, okay, no matter what, I'm accepted and loved by these people. And that gives you this emotional strength inside to be that torchbearer, to carry your weird passion out into the world. And then I will also say that, know that you are loved by the universe. I have to say this. Know that you are being pushed forward by the life force of the divine flowing through you. You have this passion for a reason. Yes, not every step is going to be on, you know, rose petals. Some steps are going to be a little harder to take than others. And you know that you're on your path. And you have to trust that passion inside you. You have to trust it, because, God, I'm almost emotional right now, because it's so important for the divine to express through you. And it provides you this intense abundance and richness of your life experience and your soul's development and your own unfolding. So that's kind of a long answer, but I want you to know that you are connected to this spiritual life force energy, that you need to build a community of close, of like tight, close friends around you who are just your lovers and supporters. And that will give you, both of those things will sandwich you to develop the skills to be the bridge builder between yourself and your amazing, amazing talent and passion that you have for the world with people that are new to those types of ideas, because you're going to push the frontiers of human evolution. It's really important what you're doing, and to be able to speak about it eloquently is really important too.
Oh, that's beautiful. Being the torchbearer, right? And it's okay. It's all okay to be the weirdo, because the weirdos are the ones that actually are here to make the difference, right? So it's one of those paradoxes. Sometimes when you feel alone, it's because you're meant to stand out, not because you're meant to hide, you know, in so many different ways. And I love how you said that. You inspired me when I was listening to you. And I'm like, yes, yes, yes. I'm cheering it on because it's true. You know, it's really true. And learning how to speak to people and read where they are and respecting them in their comfort zone, I think is really important. I see some people sometimes trying to shove their newfound ideas or whatever down other people's throats, and that doesn't work. You know, it's more about invitation, you know, and sharing enough that meets people's comfort zones, you know?
Yeah.
I know some shamanic healers that are actually in the Hopi tribe, and I've spent a lot of time with them. So shaman healing to me is familiar. It's fascinating. And there's a power there that I don't know how to describe in human words. And so when I met you, I met Lewis and Rowana from the Hopi tribe many years ago. And I don't know that I would have said, I don't know that I had a statement one way or the other about the word shaman or shaman healer. I thought it was indigenous people who were cool. You know, the healers of the indigenous people. Okay, that's good. That's about as far as it went until I met them. And when I met them, I had a really stressful job and I was on a vacation, and my friend knew them and said, let's go hang out with the Hopis. I'm like, yeah, you know, why not, right? And so we spent the whole day in their house and all through and doing ceremonies, all kinds of neat things. We did this prayer on the front yard. Well, it was the desert. We would call it the yard. There was no grass. It was desert, but in front of the house. And we were all arm in arm, and they were speaking in their native language. And next thing I know, the whole circle of us was just moving together, like in this rhythmic circular motion. And I could feel the earth, and I could feel the power of nature, air, divine, all of it so palpably that it changed me forever. And I remember it was 2002, because I came home. I remember trying to tell everyone, I have not told the story in years, trying to tell everyone how much of an emergency it was that people start waking up and connecting the higher divine things with earth. Like, it was an emergency, and I was in this state of emergency in my heart for many years. I still feel it at times, and nobody would get me. Nobody, they thought I'd really gone off. They knew I was eccentric, but now I'm off the edge, you know, like it was, oh, there she goes. I'm like, no, I felt it. And I still remember, like, when we were going in circles and you could feel it, and I don't even know what they were saying. I don't know that language, but I can tell you it was the most connected, power situation that I had experienced to date at that point in time. And then it was all done, and we were having tea later and things, and you're not allowed to take photos out in the land because it's sacred land, but we took photos together in the house. That was okay. We go in the house afterwards, and Lewis looks at me, and they spoke very good English. The prayer just wasn't in English. And he said, when was the last time you were blessed? And I said, well, just a few weeks ago, I was sitting under an oak tree and a hawk got a pigeon, and I was rained on by white feathers. He said, oh my, I knew it. And he said that, and on a higher way, that was like an initiation, that all those white feathers represented me being blessed by the divine and like invited forward or up or something. I can't remember how he said it now, but I just remember looking at him and going, whoa, like, it was so intense, because I knew that he was speaking from a place that I had at that time never really thought of. So when I hear shaman energy and healing on that level, I am acutely aware that many people in our Western cultures really struggle with getting that far out there, because everybody's in such, you know, the holdover from the Victorian era of tight, held in. And so when I met you, and I think of those things, like that story, plus many others that went with that experience and others like it, I think, wow, there's such a freedom and a fresh of breath air, you know, a fresh of breath air. How about a breath of fresh air? That's a good one. To be able to start saying, wow, you know, there is way more going on in the world. And so for you, I would like you to talk a little bit about, if somebody's curious about the paradox of the divine or looking at things, you know, because there's lots of ways to look at it. And if somebody's curious out there and they're just going, huh, well, maybe, or what about, or, you know, like that little interest has been piqued. Are there any things that you would suggest maybe that would help them with their energy or help them with a way to open up a little bit from the inside out? So maybe they could receive what we call downloads or some kind of information or some kind of direction that's not necessarily looking outside of themselves, you know, like maybe a way to tune in inside or something like that. Is there something that you could share on that?
Well, let's see what the channel brings through for this one. I teach a lot about the heart and that the heart chakra here in the middle of our chest. And one way to access the heart chakra is through your breath. And so really focusing on the presence of your breath, breathing slowly and deeply. You know, there's a lot of talk about present time. And in our really busy, busy social world, you know, there's always so much stimulation and so much going on. We hardly ever give ourselves the gift of holding still and just breathing and being really present. What am I feeling in my body? What am I feeling in, what are these thoughts floating around my mind? Hello, thoughts. Oh, do I feel a little breeze? How does my body feel? Really just calming down, slowing down, and breathing is in being in that present moment. The secret about the present moment is it's connected to the quantum field. It's connected to the field of everything, of all the dimensions, all the times, all the spaces. And that's the present moment. And then when you step out of the present moment and you get concerned about time and how long, what am I doing on my calendar tomorrow? How long does this meeting last? How long do I have to get here and there? When we get caught up in that, then we're stepping back into the third dimension. When we step into the presence of now, then we're stepping into the quantum field. So it's a practice of really shifting and allowing yourself to open. And in that pure potential of the quantum field of the now moment, you can receive more. So one of my favorite teachers, gurus, his name is Prem Baba. He teaches that just like 1 minute of silence a day, see if you can go into that now moment and just have 1 minute of silence to open the doors. First of all, really, it's a very nice little rest you can give your brain. Just 1 minute and breathe. And it's not that easy for me. I still practice this. But breathe into that 1 minute and feel your mind relax. And there's a sense of spaciousness that you'll start to feel that you can continue to expand. And the more you feel that sense of expansiveness, the more you're in the presence of your own divinity, connected to the presence of the greater divinity, and you can start to relax. All of this opens your heart, and you can really connect with the power and the potency of that divine place. And I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm pretty sure we'll come back to the heart later in the discussion. That's what's coming through for me today to share, Diane, is that sense of being silent in the present moment and connecting into the spaciousness there, which is connecting to the quantum field.
I love that you said that way, and the connection to the quantum field for a couple reasons. One is I always hear breathe, connect with your heart, breathe, open up. And rarely do I hear people speak about the point, like why, you know, like, okay, take a breath. Well, great. You know, and some people who are living in their head, you know, they're kind of frozen from their neck down and they're living in their head. They like to know why. And, you know, the research shows a human brain likes to know why before it'll actually do something. So the adult human brain. So that's kind of interesting. And it is, you know, all about that greater connection, honoring and being in that space. So that was a beautiful description of how to do it and the power of it. You know, it's not just learning how to breathe. It's learning how to realize that when we're breathing and we're in that present moment, that it's that paradox. So we're in this one moment that is so expansive that it touches everything, but yet we're in that moment. And it's that paradox of expanding fully out while connecting deeply within at the same time. That is where our authentic power is, really, you know, our spiritual power. So that was beautiful. I love that.
Yeah, we're multidimensional.
Yes.
And we can connect into our multidimensionality by having a moment of stillness.
Yes. Multidimensional. I love it. So you run a business and you are successful businesswoman. And that takes one skill set. And then you also are really connected spiritually. And that's a whole nother skill set. That's a visionary skill set. Mm-hmm. And you also take care of your family. That's another skill set. And that's a lot of skill sets. And then you're just like a human being, nerdy human being cruising through the world too, right? all of those things. And so what I'm really curious about it, I just kind of crack up about it because that's very diverse. And you love diversity. And it takes different skill sets. And so how is it that you learned, or maybe you found out, I'm getting that you kind of discovered it. The fact that you have all these skills, like you can jump from being grounded and talk about science and quantum physics and do marketing for your business, and then dial in and talk to your guides and kind of help out spiritually, and then manage three-dimensional things like cleaning the house and doing laundry. And I would imagine that there's times where, you know, tying your shoes or doing those mundane things, the rest of you goes, I can't do this. I want to be over here in this higher place. Or you get so excited about learning about something that you forget, you know, what time it is because, you know, you're learning or whatever. I can just see, you know, going off in all these different ways. And so how do you manage all of that? Like that's like a superpower or something. I don't know, but it's like really amazing. So how does this work?
I love to learn. I love to learn. And then recently this year, I came into awareness of how many learning curves at one time I'm willing to conquer. I think I kept myself at 4 at one time, like big areas of study. Well, you know, segueing to what I said before, when I'm doing things like I love to cook, and which of course generates dishes. So then I, you know, cooking and dishes come together. It's a different way of using my mind. You know, when I'm in my business, I'm very focused, I'm task oriented, I'm planning and I'm jumping from task to task. And so then when I go into the kitchen, I move into this creative space, which helps me feel, it really relaxes my mind. So it's a different, I've used my mind in different ways, and that's how I generate balance. So I've got like the business way of using my mind. I've got the cooking and creative ways of using my mind. And I do a lot of writing and videos for my business as well. And then I've got like, I'm studying now. I'm hot to learn Spanish. So I've been studying and I moved to Mexico so I could really give myself the full opportunity to achieve this goal of learning Spanish. So I read Spanish every day. I talk Spanish, speak Spanish every day. So I use my mind and I'm aware that like I will use up my mental capacity in one department of my brain and have to switch. Ugh, I'm done on the computer for a minute and go into the kitchen and use my creativity skills. And when I'm doing things like chores, it's a lot about being in the present moment. You've heard gurus say chop wood, carry water. You don't have to have a differentiation of I'm meditating now. I'm meditating in this conversation with you, Diane. I'm meditating when I'm cooking in the kitchen. I'm meditating when I'm on the computer doing my business stuff. And when I'm studying Spanish, when I'm doing all these different things, I want to be present and connected with my divine self so that whatever I'm doing, I'm bringing my absolute best to it. And I monitor my presence all day long. Am I being present in this moment? What am I doing right now? What would I really love doing right now? Do I need a shift? It's the transition moments. I'm going from exercise to what am I doing next? Am I going to do this morning? It was, shall I stop and do a little bit of shopping that I need to get done? Or shall I just run home as quick as possible and jump into work? So those transition moments, I always have to ask myself, what's the best use of my time in this moment? What would bring me joy and happiness in this moment? Okay, that's what I'm going to do next. And that paves the way. That's like the transition moments between one thing to the another. And that's some of how I bring the balance between it all. Did I kind of touch on your question there, Diana? I hope I didn't just ramble off into the weeds somewhere.
Well, not only did you not ramble off into the weeds, I wrote it down as I asked the question to have you share about your transitions.
Awesome. I think I got the message.
You got the message, because it is about like the transitions and how do we go from place to place? And you just explained exactly what I was hoping and wanting for you to share about, is how to choose and make the transition in between all of the different things. Because I think a lot of people, like, you know, over love, I guess, multitasking. And I keep saying multitasking is not healthy. The other word for that is polyphagia. It's not healthy. Sequential tasking is where we need to be. And if you're somebody who's gifted and has a lot of brain cells and a lot of activities, four learning curves at a time and those things, then the sequential tasking might move rather rapidly. But to try to hold it all it's simultaneously and multitask, which was, you know, overly revered way back when, is unhealthy and it's not good for us. And so it also sets you up to feel like you can't do what you need to do because it's not correct. So I was hoping you would talk about transitions, and you did. And I think making the choice of in transition of what will bring the best joy and the highest use of my time and the highest use of my resources at that moment, as I go into the next activity, brings my highest resources and my joy with it. Whereas the mentality of I have to, or I don't want to, or, you know, like that heaviness, then also brings that energy with it. And so, yes, we all have multiple things that we do and lots of responsibilities, and that's great. And transitions are important.
One thing you just said, Diane, about having things in our life that we don't really want to do so much. Do you mind if I speak about that a little bit?
Sure.
Especially as an entrepreneur, and especially as people who are torchbearers, who are forerunners, one thing to know about being in that forerunner state, that cutting edge of humanity state, is that you are literally pushing an envelope of energy out in front of you, right? You're not following in the tracks of somebody else. You are making the way for people to follow you. So think about the formation of geese and how one of the geese is at the front of the formation. That goose is working harder than the whole entire rest of the formation. And that's why they rotate out that role, because they're literally cutting a way forward for the rest of the flock. And those who are further back, they have to do a lot less work. They're able to glide a lot more and they can rest. So that's how they cover these really long migration patterns. So think of yourself as that cutting edge person. Well, we've got those external forces, like if you think about the wind coming towards the geese, the external forces and the pressure of society, and we're trying to change the pressure in front of, we're trying to change society with our new idea. And then we have these internal forces as well of things that might cause us fear or worry or, oh my God, that's just too big. I'm pulling the sheets up over my head. I can't take it today. Or I'm even exhausted. And these might bring us into these procrastination patterns where I'm leaving that over to, I'm going to get inspired one day to do that. And one day that day will come. Well, what if that day in the grand scheme of things needs to happen today? And you wake up in the morning and maybe you feel inspired, or maybe you get a kick in the butt by the divine saying, you need to do that thing today. Some of us really do get intuitions about like a timing, a divine right timing. Oh, today's the day. I'm not sure I really feel all the way up to it. Or even if you don't have those types of divine inspirations, but you kind of know that you've got to get on with something. How do you shift yourself into from a place of resistance, procrastination? Procrastination is really complicated. I'm gonna unravel on that one. But you meet this point of resistance inside yourself and you don't want to do something. How do you shift yourself? Well, this is very similar to the transition moments. Whenever I get ready to do a video, whenever I do something that's at a higher level, I recorded a bunch of audios last week, and I literally physically had a really bad cold, but my voice was still good, and I wanted to get those audios done and off my desk, and I kept going. What did I do? What I did was I gave myself a lot of pep talks. I meditated. I connected to all of my spiritual resources. I literally prayed. I prayed for the divine to bring me peace, to bring me grace, to bring me resources. And then I'm going to show you these cards I have. I love this deck from Doreen Virtue, Ascended Masters. It's like almost a little bit worn there. But I pull those kinds of cards. I also am a fan of flower essences. So here's one that I use. I pull cards for Flower Essence Society and Doreen Virtue's Ascended Masters. And when I pull these cards, I am pulling in energetic resources to attune me, to take me from point zero. Sometimes it's pretty hard to do a 180 from point zero, but at least if I'm at 30 or 40%, I can map myself around. So it has to do with the colors that I'm putting on to wear. Am I putting on makeup? And I layer, and then I put in energies from different spiritual energies, and I layer myself up, and then I remember what I'm here for. I remember my purpose and my goal, and I really connect with my passion. All of these things are ways for me to level up. I connect with my gratitude. What am I really? I'm so grateful for the opportunity to record these audios for Insight Timer. I'm so grateful for the invitation to be a teacher in Insight Timer. I am so grateful that I want to give them what they asked me for. And I'm gonna let nothing slow me down. I'm gonna let nothing stand in my way. So this is a form of commitment. We have a commitment. How do you facilitate your commitment to your purpose and what your purpose is asking from you and demanding of you in order to let the life force energy of the divine flow through you? So I hook up all these different pieces and parts, and I level myself up and level myself up and level myself up to where I am at the highest vibrational frequency I can possibly operate at. And then I relax, I ground myself to the earth, and I smile and I open my throat, and then I begin some of the most difficult tasks that I have to do. And when I'm in that state of consciousness, the difficulty, quote unquote, of a particular task, if it evaporates, because it's such a small, even if it feels like a sacrifice, it's such a small thing now that I've connected to the greater purpose and the grander scale of what I'm really here to do. It's like, I can't not do this thing now, and I'm going to do my absolute best with it, and I'm supported. I've garnered and created this resource and toolkit of support to help me move forward and to help me do my absolute best. So that's a strategy that I wanted to share with your community, because I know a lot of people, we hit these points of impasse, and when you connect to these greater purposes, your greater purpose in these greater and bigger energies, they will lift you up and float your boat through that task. And you can also envision yourself, like I envisioned, instead of just the 13 audios I needed to do, I envisioned that I had to create 20 or 30. And because I wasn't looking so hard at the goalpost, I was looking way behind the goalpost, I sailed right through the goalpost. I had energy to spare at the end of that because I was anticipating 20 or 30 audios. I was mentally prepared and energetically prepared to go much further beyond what I knew I really had to do. And it was such a soft landing at the end of that project. It was so easy to land at the end of that project. So I wanted to share some of these techniques and tactics with you. These are some of the ways we can grow our audience bigger and just some of the most challenging learning curves and get ourselves out there, because it's really important for us to get out there and do what we came here to do.
Right. And everybody has their own mission, and we all need to get out there, whatever that looks like. And it's important. And I love when you were talking about looking beyond the goalpost, because I always tell people, in fact, I had a client yesterday and I said, well, think down 5, 6, 7 generations about what we're doing or what your plans are and how you want to move your life forward. Imagine that distance. And then pretty soon what we have to do tonight or tomorrow or next week has a whole different perspective than when we have it so microscopic in front of our face that it feels so much bigger, you know? So I love how you said that, because I'm like, yes, that's true. You know, I love it. If somebody's resonating with what you're saying, which I'm sure there are many people who are, and they're curious about working with you, I know you work with people virtually, right?
Yeah.
And so, and you have a website that's octaviabrooks.com, which I will put in the show notes so that people can reach you directly through that. But is there anything about your business or the kind of work you do, or maybe if you have any programs or anything going on that you would like to share with people so they can kind of get an understanding of the feeling? I know you mentioned you work with people one-on-one and individually, and I know that you do a lot of other things. And your website is full of amazing information. I love your website. I like to read all the neat things on it. But what would you like to share with people about how to work with you, or ways that you think you could kind of step into their life and be of beneficial presence?
Okay. Thank you so much for the invitation to share. There's a lot of different ways. I think for people who are feeling just super, super stuck, I like to work with people individually who feel like they have like the same boyfriend with a different name or the same job with a different company. And they're starting to notice these really annoying patterns that they just seem to keep getting on the treadmill and not really getting off, not really getting bigger. So if you've got any of those types of things, then that's really where the one-on-one shamanic work really helps. The energy, moving the energy, and then coming in with some coaching about how to use affirmations and positive thinking, a lot of like similar to what I've shared today, they're very, very compatible. And it gives you the opportunity to literally rewrite the wiring in your brain that's causing you to go into those sort of treadmill habitual patterns. So that's the realm of the one-on-one work where I really like to work with people. And then I also teach, well, I mentioned that I really like to teach energy balancing, and that class is going to be available on Insight Timer it's going to be January 2019 when that's available. And I also have some other online classes that I call the Shamanic Wisdom Series. And the class that I just mentioned is one of the 6 classes in the Shamanic Wisdom Series. I also teach about connecting with the 4 elements and the 4 directions and how to create altars and the value and the benefit of starting those communications with energies and beings from the other realms and the other worlds. As I mentioned, I pull cards from the Ascended Masters, and then their vibrations come to support me. What if you didn't have to pull cards? What if you could just like call down the certain energies that you needed to really succeed with something? And that's the beginning class, is how to start communicating with one of the elements and having that dialogue with a spirit from another realm, beginning to open your spirit mediumship. One of the other classes, I talk about several different types of energy balancing. I work with the chakra system, and that's maybe not as traditional shamanic. The traditional shamanic is more available in my one-on-one sessions, and I also do spiritual mentoring. of anybody that would like to develop their spiritual skills and would like to develop their skills of spirit mediumship and learn about things like how to break curses and how do you release entities and all that completely weird esoteric shamanic stuff. And so some of the, those are some of the ways to contact me. And in the coming, again, in January 2019, I'll be offering, and I will probably offer these kinds of things regularly. It's not really a class so much as a group experience that includes ceremony, where, and I like to tie ceremony in with brain stuff because I really believe that when we ritually recognize that we are initiating ourselves into a new chapter, we're leaving an old chapter behind. We are cutting cords with that old chapter. We're not going to be that person anymore. We are only going to be this new person. When we use ceremony and initiation and shamanic practices to step over that line and be somebody new, then it facilitates our commitment to being that new person, to really making those changes. So I'm offering this around the turn of the year, the beginning of the year, so that we can step into our biggest selves as we go through this year. And we can step into a full toolkit of resources using shamanic journeys. That's another thing I offer, is shamanic journeys, where you can go to these other realms and recruit resources to yourself energetically, spiritually. Who knows how they really show, like what they really are, because we see a symbolic version of them in the shamanic journey, and then we magically have those new skills and resources when we come back out of the journey into our real world. So I like to load people up at the beginning of the year to set themselves on track, and then they'll be able to go back to the materials they create to recalibrate themselves to that person that they said and committed to being at the beginning of the year. I think it's more effective than setting New Year's intentions. I want people to be successful. I don't want people to feel like they're making another promise and they're just going to break it 2 or 3 months from now. No, we're going to decide who you really want to be, what you really want to experience in this year, something that'll carry you through the whole entire year. So those are a few things that I'm doing right now, Diane. And there are heaps of resources on my website. I've recorded a lot of teaching videos, a lot of blog posts. There's a lot more information about who shamans are, what kind of toolkits we have. I mean, there's plenty out there. I have a YouTube channel too, if you're a video person. Does that answer your question, Diane?
Oh, abundantly, yes. So I'm going to put Octavia's website or YouTube channel and all of her different social media links on the show notes for this show so you can check her out. And one of the things to think of is if you're a little bit curious, or maybe you're sitting there and judging and thinking it's very woo-woo what she's talking about, it's not woo-woo at all. You're speaking to a well-educated person, or you're listening to a very well-educated woman who is educated in multiple areas and has expanded herself to be able to bring them through in different ways. So what I always tell all the people that I work with, that if you find yourself quietly judging or curious, then to ask for more information and learn more. And always say, tell me more. And once you start hearing the answer to the tell me more, you will see what your soul is searching for. So if you have any of those experiences while you're listening to us today, I suggest you contact Octavia and ask her to tell you more. And you will start learning and exploring things that you probably never thought were possible, but yet are amazing for you. So thank you very much, Octavia. One more question, and then we'll be done. I know I'm keeping you longer than usual, but it's so exciting. Is there anything that your heart says that you would like to share with everybody? A question maybe I didn't ask, or something that you think is just, you know, or you feel is important.
Thank you. I appreciate this end note here. I think I mentioned that I wanted to come back to the value of the heart and the importance of love. Love is the primary energy that I work with clients. And it, to me, it's literally the energy that holds the universe together. It is the energy of the quantum field. And I train people and show people how to open their hearts and begin channeling divine love through their heart. And it's a really simple technique. When we go back to our breathing, And I know for those of us brainy people, it's pretty hard to not stay in the mind, but imagine that your attention can drop from your mind down into your heart and focusing on your breathing. And then as you can open your heart in a really natural and graceful way by thinking of all of the really special people in your life and places that you've been, people that you've known, experiences you had that have been really uplifting, kitties and puppies are fair game, and breathe while you're thinking of these beautiful people, places, and things, and your heart will naturally begin to open and relax. And then from there, if you call in the divine energy, however you interpret that, however that is for you, call in the divine energy to open divine heart inside your heart, your human heart, to expand your heart even further. And if you do this, then the divine will open a channel from your soul, from your divine self, through your human heart, and allow you to connect with that divine love flow to enable you to be capable of channeling divine love into the world. And I like to tell people, you're the first stop on the multidimensional quantum love train. That divine love comes that divine love comes from your soul, from your divinity, and stops with whatever inside you needs to be healed, whatever needs to be relaxed and balanced and open. And it's infinite, so it's not just going to stop with you. It's going to flow through you. It's going to give you everything you need. And then it's going to flow through you and out into the world, into your conversations, into your life, into your work, and amplify and purify and level up everything you have to offer the world. So that's, I appreciate the opportunity to share that last moment of going from your breath, relaxing your heart, connecting with your own divine love nature, and bringing more of that out into the world. It's time. It's time. The world is ready for you.
Ah, beautifully said. The world is ready. So remember, everybody, to keep your face to the sun so the shadows fall behind you. Take a long, deep breath. Connect to who you really are and go for it, because you are a rock star after all. Until the next episode, always keep breathing.
Thanks for tuning in to Someone Gets Me. To find out more, please visit Diane's website at missdianeallen.com. That's missdianeallen.com. Be sure to take a second and subscribe to the show and share with anyone that you think may benefit. Until next time, remember, the world needs your special gift. So let your light shine.